What's up, motherfuckers? How y'all doing?
You really like that shirt, Donald.
You really like my dick. No, wait,
I have a question. Do you have multiple versions of that shirt, or is it your go-to? I know you have other colors, because when I saw you for our Appletini session, you had were wearing it in a different shade. Tell us about the shirt, Donald.
I'm a huge fan of fighting. I am a huge fan of mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. And this store, Super Rare, but shout out Super Rare. They have a store in New York City and then a store on Melrose. They sell fight equipment. So if you're into BJJ, they have Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gis. And they have rash guard shirts and pants and like just a bunch of things. They have gloves. They have boxing gloves. They have, you know, grappling gloves. They have pads, they have everything. It's a, but then not only that, the gear, your workout gear is fly as fuck. Like, this is just a shirt that says Super Rare on it. They got gear with like Biggie Smalls on it. They got gloves with like the Coogee, with the Coogee pattern on it for Biggie Smalls. You know, they got a bunch of things. The store is amazing. So if you're into fighting,
go to Donald's favorite store, Super Rare. Did you guys, Daniel and Joelle, watch us make the Appletinis? It was a huge hit.
I tuned in for a bit.
Fans are so cute.
The comments were flying.
Really? We obviously didn't see them because my girlfriend was filming for us, so we didn't see any of them.
I was going to say, we threw out a couple messages, but it was just like...
Listen, here's the thing about that. I know that a lot of people watched it when I put it in my stories, or when I put it on my Instagram page, but I don't know what the actual live feed was. Like, how many people did we reach?
I think at one point there were like 13,000 watching or something.
That's
amazing.
Dope. That's amazing. I don't know.
It was fun, Donald. We haven't done something like that live. Like, I mean, I don't know if we haven't done an Instagram live like that probably ever.
No, but we've done it where like you've been on live and I've, you know.
Oh yeah, where you joined. But I'm saying like a plan. And we were like, Donald got there early and we like rehearsed. We like,
love it.
Shit, I'm not recording.
I have to say, when you took off your shirt, Donald, it was really popping in the comments. People were excited
about
it.
They were stoked.
Casey jumped in there and that made me laugh. Really, she got there late and she was like, where is your shirt?
She told me that. She was like, I asked, where's your shirt? You didn't answer me. I was like, babe, I was shooting. I was in on the screen.
Babe, I was in the zone. My favorite part of the video.
How do I
My favorite part of the video when I was like, Donald, you promised the people that you'd be both stoned and shirtless. And he's like, give me a second. And then he goes in the other room and takes off his shirt.
I was surprised that people were all right with it. I was surprised that people were all right with me wearing an apron and just the Hershey's Kisses out.
Of course. You know, they kept saying you look swole.
Happy with it. They were thrilled.
S-W-O-L-L, swole. What does that mean, guys?
It means buff. Buff. Very strong.
It looks like I could lift some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, swollen. Swole. And then I had my favorite comment that I did see was someone said, wow, Zach, looking good. I need to get a Peloton. So I like that.
You know what I saw a lot of was, wow, Zach looks really young. That's what I saw a lot of.
You know, maybe it's because I'm so self-deprecating on this podcast saying that I look old and everything. And then when people saw me like doing a live video, they were like, okay.
No, you know, I honestly believe that you choose pictures of yourself that make you look very distinguished and stuff like that. And so when people actually see you in motion, they can't believe how young you are. You know what I mean? Right. Like, there's certain pictures of people, and you see them, and you're like, wow, that person looks old as fuck. And then you see them in motion, and you're like, that person looked younger than I have thought.
A lot of people said I looked like John Ritter, which I thought was a compliment, because I love John Ritter.
He's
John
great.
Ritter's amazing, dude. And also very handsome.
Lynch. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was. Anyway, it was a lot of fun, and thank you for all tuning in. It's not over. You can still go to headcount.org/Zach and Donald and check your registration and or register for the first time. That's still happening.
I appreciate people saying that I didn't look like Uncle Phil, even though I tremendously respect the man, and Uncle Phil was one of the dopest father figures in the history of television, period.
Right.
I appreciate that people said I looked like Donald Faison and not Uncle Phil.
So you looked great. Good. And you looked swole, which is a new term I'm going to use for you.
All right, that's what's up.
No, your arms are big. I know that you
But so's my belly, baby.
Yeah, you admitted you're not eating your best, but you still have muscular arms and
And shoulders. Look at the shoulders.
Yeah,
look
are you doing shoulders. Weights? Is that what that's about?
No, you know what it is? I've worked out for so much of my life. I think once I turned 21, once I started doing Remember the Titans, I've worked out pretty much my whole life. I'm not eating right, but I've worked out damn near every day, whether it be basketball, whether it be lifting weights, whether it be boxing, whatever it is, I've worked out. Since the pandemic, not so much. And so I'm now out of shape. Like, I used to be chubby and in shape. Like, I could run and I could jump and I could do all of those things. Now I'm chubby and can't walk up the steps without being like, damn, that was a long walk.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Well, I've been spinning, and I'm feeling good about it. Losing, cutting some weight, getting rid of these love handles.
Hell yeah!
Good, good for you, man. And I will join you as soon as soon as you know. Okay, listen. Don't doubt me all you want. I love it when you doubt me.
Hey, listen, everybody.
motivates me.
I wanted to say to the audience, you asked, and we delivered. We have a very special guest on today's show, the Rob Mascio. High five, Todd. I mean, I think he's been one of our most requested guests. And I wanted to let the fans know we came through.
We came through for y'all. And on that note, let me give you just a little bit of 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know.
Welcome back, y'all.
Yeah,
let's let Rob in.
Let's let Rob in. I haven't seen Rob in how many years, Donald, since we saw Rob?
At the reunion.
No!
Oh my God.
There he is.
How are you guys doing?
Rob, excellent. I have so many questions for you. The fans were dying to have some Rob Mascio on the podcast. I'm sorry it's taken so long, but everyone's like, when is Rob Mascio coming on?
You are the most requested. Most requested guest star of Fake Doctors, Real Friends.
I'm flattered. What can I say? Listen, quarantine life, it's been crazy. It rocks, right? But my bedroom, that's where I really operate.
Oh, my God. Oh boy. Here we go.
Did not know Rob was coming in character today.
Here we go.
Rob's always in character. Rob.
We should have a drinking game, which is how many high fives and innuendos can I make in the next, I don't know, 18 minutes.
Yeah. There it is. Here we go. Rob has just introduced.
Rob, let's start at the beginning. Okay, Rob. Because this is what we like to do with everyone who's a cast member of the show. I do want to preface it by saying Donald and I have been laughing so hard at you. We're now in the beginning of season 3, and you crack us up on the show. You know that I don't even think we realized how funny you are. I mean, I knew you were funny, but a lot of the times we laugh out loud, it's at the fucking shit that you say.
Did you know when you were doing it that you were making this character, this character's iconic now, man. The high five Todd is iconic.
I mean, you guys are very kind, but it was all in the script. I mean, it's really Bill who created the part. In the pilot episode, it says jockey frat boy surgeon, and he's got cut off sleeves and a doc tattoo. That's all the clues for the character you need right there.
Right. You
know? Yeah. That's everything you need. I just played it to the nth degree. So, although I did bring the magic with the banana hammock.
Yeah. We're going to talk about everything.
Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to get into the banana hammock and everything.
Everybody wants to get it.
I want to let everyone. I want to. Oh, my God.
It's an Amazon Instagram page.
You're on fire.
That's what
you said. Rob, we have so many questions, including we're going to get to how many socks you were putting in that banana hammock to make it seem like you were girthy. But I do want everyone to know right off the bat that Rob's on Cameo. We've mentioned this before. And so you can get Rob, if you go on Cameo.com and look for Rob's name, he'll send your loved one a video. Rob, tell him some of the weirdest stuff you've done. Have you done proposals? What have you...
And have you ever had to be in the banana hammock to do it?
Yeah. They asked for that, but that's extra, guys. Yeah. Nobody wants to see a middle-aged man in a banana hammock. Well, maybe some people
do. I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of people do.
Fetish is real, baby.
But what do you mostly do? Is it like birthday messages? Like what do most people ask you to do on Cameo?
It's been really interesting experience. I could never have foreseen this since the pandemic started. I have shot over 1,000 cameos.
Oh my God.
It's people are reaching out for something right now, like to take their mind off what's going on in the world. And they're just reaching out for comfort, comedy, anything. And people are apart. So they're like, I can't go to the wedding, but I want to send this message from you to at the wedding or a birthday. And so it's been like, it's been all over, Zach. Like in the beginning, it was like essential workers. My husband is staying in a hotel. He doesn't want to bring the virus back to us. And then it was like, I got laid off. And then it was like, I've been quarantined for 6 weeks and I'm losing. So like, it's really, I've watched this whole COVID-19 based on the cameo requests I get.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's been fascinating. It's been really fascinating.
Well, I just think, you know, people, you made so many people laugh, and it's a great thing to do for people. So if you have someone, whether they're in the medical profession or not, Rob is obviously able to do it. And I'm going to get one for Donald, Rob.
I would like him in his banana hammock, so you're going to have to pay the extra.
I got one for Bill and Krista. Bill and Krista are big Howard Stern fans, and there's one of the Whack Packer regulars on Howard Stern. His name is High Pitch Eric, and he's got a very high-pitched voice, obviously. And so I went on Cameo because they let me stay with them in Malibu one time recently. And I got a message. And he was like, hey, Bill and Krista, this is High Pitch Eric. Zach wanted me to thank you for letting him stay. And I don't know. But it was, since they're genuine huge fans of the show, it was amazing. So I support it. I love Cameo.
Dude, you've got, I should say, Tracy Morgan to get on the phone and do Brian Fellows for me.
Yes, that was long before Cameo. That was in real life.
Yeah, in real life. You were at the Saturday Night Live thing, and Tracy Morgan was there, and you guys were obviously had been out partying. You're like, Tracy, this is what I hear in the background.
What a good friend I was.
Do it. And I hear, I'm Brian Fellows. What?
Yeah.
He goes, I'm Brian Fellows. And then he hands the phone back to you. And I was like, what the fuck was that? And you go, that was Tracy Morgan. He just did Brian Fellows for you.
Didn't he also say to Sarah Chalk once, he was like, I want to put a baby in you.
You look so good, I want to put a baby in you. Yo, he got some of the best sayings I've ever heard in my life. Well, that orange juice looks so good, I want to take it behind the school and get it pregnant.
Oh, my God. Not very 2020, Tracy Morgan. All right. Now, Rob, tell us, we always like to ask people when they come on, because the fans love this stuff, like how you came about getting the role. We know a little bit that you were buddies with Bill, you played basketball with him, but tell us kind of like the evolution of how you got the role.
Well, I walked into a room and there were three banana hammocks on three chairs. And they said, which one do you want? Small, medium, or grande? I went for grande and they said, you're hired. Right. That was it.
So you're saying it was solely based on cock size. You were not hired.
It was all about girth. It was all girthy. Yeah.
They were like, listen. They were like, you're the first audition, we just want to see if you're funny. Now that you're funny, we want to see your girth. All right, go ahead.
I met Bill 10 years before Scrubs. I had come out to L.A. from New York, and I had been, you know, I was a theater guy from New York, and I was doing stand-up comedy every night at open mics. And I got 6 months in, I got so bored with it. And I went and auditioned for a play, and it was a play he wrote, and he cast me in this play. It was a four-character play, and we did a play. Mm. That's how we met. So I had met him 10 years before. And you know when you do a play with somebody, it's just like it's a bonding experience. And we became friends after that. And he has seen me in those 10 years. Auditioned for every comedy that was ever made. Like I auditioned to play Joey on Friends, Will on Will and Grace. I was the talk suit to be the host three times, The Daily Show. And he would like live and die. He'd be like, Mash, did you get it? And like for 10 years, he watched me like be a struggling actor in New York and in LA. And when the time came, he's like, you know, there might be this part. And I think, but you have to come back out to LA. And so I came back to LA, you know, having gone back and forth. And he just kind of wrote this part for me. So the answer to your question is I did not audition to play the Todd.
Oh.
He always envisioned coming up with something for me. And it was a good compliment to Turk, who's a surgeon. He needed sort of a jockey, frat boy, dumber surgeon who thinks he's God's gift to women.
Yeah.
To stand next to Turk.
Who actually, it turns out, is the best surgeon in the hospital.
Well, in the hospital, Rain Man, idiot savant, who knows, you know.
No, remember, Rob, do you remember when they go, when Dr. Wen says that you're the best because you, because when you go inside your head, you're not distracted, all you're thinking is dun 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 tiny scalpel.
That was a cameo. Sometimes people ask me on Cameo to just sing that song to them. They literally ask for that song, and I just make a long version of it for them. People will ask. People know more about the show than we do, I think, when it comes to
I know. Trust us. We know. We meet them. Amazing. We meet them. Have you been on the Scrubs Wiki yet?
No.
That's the webpage that I always reference to find little trivia about each episode. Rob, didn't Bill give you a car or something? What's the story with you guys in some fancy, sexy car?
When I was in New York, he's like, come back to L.A. And I was like, I just got with this good agency in New York, the Gersh agency. And I just was really like in the loop on things. He's like, you really should come out. And it's like one night I was like, Bill, it's just like, I didn't want to come. I wanted to stay in New York and try and do theater and stand up. He's like, I have a car in storage. Come out. At least you have a free car for 6 months until you get on your feet. So he had a car, like a red Mustang Ford convertible, like a classic 65 car.
Oh, shit. That was his
car?
And
he gave it to me. That great.
Wow.
Yeah, eventually I bought it from him, but he lent it to me for the first 6 months. And I remember every time I would turn the car on, I'd be like, oh, shoot, that's going to be $200. Because it was an old car. But there was one scene when I did this like to you about yeah. That was because I used to always drive that car, and that's what it sounded like when I was hitting a bump. It's like I was that's totally how my car was rocking when I took this girl out last night. And that was the car he lent me. And that's where that joke came from.
When I first got to LA and got my car, I remember being so broke that I was like, I'm going to take it out of gear when I'm going down. It was stick. I'm going to take it out of gear when I'm going down the hill. I don't even know if that legit lowers your gas consumption or not, but I did it. I would like just be like, we're drifting down this hill. We are not in gear for this hill because let's just take all the gas we can get.
Dude, I remember when I moved out to Los Angeles and they gave me the Clueless, the television show, gave me $5,000 to relocate. I found an apartment in Hollywood. I had to pay first and last month's rent. I had literally no dough after I got my first apartment. I was lucky enough to have a roommate who moved in with me and he bought a television. And so we had a tiny ass television for the first couple, for the first month until I got my first paycheck. And my mom used to send me money so I could eat. That's how broke I was when I freaking...
Wow. Didn't you have a motorcycle when you first were out here?
No, I got a motorcycle. So after Clueless took off, I had a bunch of friends move into the house with me, right? So like cats from New York moved out to Los Angeles. And it was like five guys, one house. We partied like fucking rock stars. We threw some of the dopest parties in Black Hollywood. You know what I mean? We were doing it big. Like, you think I'm joking, but like people like Taraji P would be, before she was famous. All of these people, before they were famous, would hang out at me and my roommate's house. I was the one paying for the house because I was on Clueless. Anyway, right. My buddy had a motorcycle and he always looked dope when he would come like to set to hang out with me or, this is back when I had an entourage. So he would he'd pull up on the Paramount lot in a motorcycle with a drive on pass, and I'd be like, that's the type of energy I need to be on. You know
right.
what I mean? And so I bought a motorcycle and I was riding, I rode it around for a little bit. And one night, and I was doing stupid shit. Like, I didn't have a license. I took the test and I got to the point where I knew how to ride the bike. I could put it in any gear and everything like that. But I was stupid and didn't want to go get the license, right?
I see.
Oh, no.
And so I'm out and about and I'm on, I lived in Los Feliz at the time, and I'm on Los Feliz Boulevard and I'm doing stupid shit like going in between cars and going in between cars on the sidewalk, like dumb shit, like the dumbest shit you could imagine. And I'm going and I go through an intersection and a car makes it so I can't go in between the sidewalk and the street. And I go up on the curb and the bike falls, but Los Feliz Boulevard has a bunch of grass. And so I skid out on the grass, right? And so I'm like, I get up off the bike and I stand up. Everybody's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. And I put, you know, get back on the bike and I, you know, ride it home. And I never rode it again after that. I never rode a motorcycle again after that.
I never knew that story because I knew whenever you see me on my bike, you kind of shake your head. And I knew that you had some sort of my accident.
Yeah, it was a minor accident, but it was still one of those things where it was like, and I didn't have like, I wasn't bruised or anything. Luckily, my bike was fine and everything like that. But it was so close, like, that's how close you get to death. You're so close to death and you're still alive without a scratch. And you get so close like that, it's like, I don't want to do it anymore. It's just like when we were in St. Bart's and they were telling us, don't go around the boats real fast on the jet skis. And what did I do? I went around the boat real fast on a jet ski and almost crashed into somebody like on a little speedboat.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell into the wash. And you know how you could feel the propeller? Well, you can't. You don't know because this doesn't happen to most people. But I could feel the propeller moving by my head as I'm going underwater on the jet ski and popping out. So, you know, yeah, man, that's as close as I got. I've gotten really close to death a couple of times. And I don't. And once I learn my lesson, once I get that happens, I don't want to fuck with it anymore. So with that motorcycle, that was a wrap.
All right. Well, that's good. And also, you have lots of kids. So I can understand also. It's like
I didn't have a lot of kids at the time. I didn't have a lot of kids.
I know,
but
I'm saying now. Remember when I gave you the scooter, Sasha Gray, you didn't want to ride it. And I think it's maybe because you were in your head about having so many kids and trying to be a responsible father.
No, man. It's just that I put that bike. Once I did that, I'm scared for my life, man. Like, you know. I did stupid shit on that bike, man. Like, things where I was like, I should have never.
When I got my motorcycle, my first motorcycle, I was really excited. And I just happened to meet, coincidentally, that week after I bought it and got my license and feeling so cool, a heart surgeon. And I'm making small talk with him because, you know, we were talking about scrubs, obviously, and other stuff. And I go, I got to ask you, just in layman's terms, how does a heart transplant work? I just can't get my head around it. The heart's still beating, like... just can you say like in layman's terms, like how you do that? He goes, well, yeah, after the motorcycle accident, we harvest the heart. And I'm like, wait, slow down. What do you mean? He goes, oh yeah, we call them donor bikes because they're usually men and they're young and it's a great heart. That's where we get most of the hearts. And I'm like, oh, I was like, oh, donor bikes? Holy fuck. So, yeah.
But you still ride.
I do, but I'm very conservative. I don't go on the freeways. I don't ride at night. I don't ride even if I've had a sip of alcohol. I mean, you know, it's all about risk management. Of course, it's still dangerous, but I'm very, very conservative with it.
But you also fly planes, though. Do you fly single-engine planes or double-engine planes?
I'm not current now, so I haven't flown in a while. But when I was into it and owned a plane, I was flying by myself four-seater single-engine plane, a Cirrus. Yeah.
All right. That's equally as dangerous as you
Yeah, it's so dangerous. I had a few moments up there alone like, oh, shit, this might be the moment.
Did you really?
Well, yeah, I had a few times where the turbulence was really throwing me around, and I didn't think that I was going to crash or anything, but it was really scary. And air traffic controller had said to me, like, you know, so I started to descend, and he had said to me, hey, let me know when you're going to descend. And I just did it without talking to him because it was a little hairy. And he kind of barked at me like, hey, I thought I, you know, told you to tell me when you're going to start descending. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting rattled around up here a little bit. I'm doing my best. And then I happened to find a guy who was nice and understood because sometimes they don't even give a fuck. They're just like, you know, obviously it's a hard job. They're trying to keep everybody safe. But yeah, I had a handful of times where I felt a little oh shitty about it.
No, man.
Like, oh shit.
Well, if you have a two-engine plane, if one of the engine goes out, you still have the other engine.
Yes, but it's very hard to fly. You know, some aviation enthusiasts will say the second engine only flies you to the crash site because you can imagine with what that's going to do you have to compensate for one engine. It's very tricky to fly on one. I mean, yeah, ideally that can save your life, but you have to be a darn good pilot to fly with one engine on one wing with the other one out. But let's talk about Rob Mascio. Yeah, let's talk about Rob Mascio on the show. Donald, do you want – Rob, I don't even know if you listen to this program. But
I love
Donald,
it. I listen to it while I work out.
All right, good.
When I run on the beach, yeah.
Rob,
I just had to put my glasses on for a minute just to see what you guys look like.
Yeah, this is what I look like.
You look good. You guys both look good.
That's Danil and Joelle.
Really nice to meet you guys. I can't see anything out my glasses. I want to see.
All right, Donald, will you do the famous America's favorite 47-second summary of our episode? And you ready?
Yes, I'm
do you want to loosen up your lips? Mommy made me mash my M&M's. The lips, the tip of the tongue, the lips, the tip of the teeth, the tongue, the lips, the tip of the teeth, the tongue.
Peter Piper, the pickle pepper, pickle pickle
pickle pickle. All right, here we go. And on your marks, get sets, go.
Dr. Cox is up for a promotion. He wants his work to speak for itself, but isn't sure he'll get the over the hump without the help of Jordan. Carla jumps at the opportunity to work with Turk in the OR, thinking the two of them together will make a dynamic duo. Turk's not so sure about that. Elliot and Sean's relationship is threatened by Sean's new job, and JD is in desperate need of Dr. Cox's signature. Money makes you do things. Things you're not proud of. Things that hurt people. Things that frustrate you so bad that it causes relationship issues. But it also motivates. The hustle is powered by money. Some feel money solves all problems, and it's true you can do a lot with money, but you can't buy happiness.
Mm. Mm. Yes, 46 seconds. Snaps. Very nicely, well said. Snaps. By the way, Joelle, I've been snapping because of you. I like it.
Oh, yeah. It's nice. It's a jazzy feel
to
everything.
Yeah, I like it. Instead of clapping, I snap like Joelle.
Mm. Like, this episode was weird because it took me a while. I had to sit and think about it. What is this episode about? What is everybody's motivation in this episode? Well, and everybody's motivation in this episode is a better way of life with money. You know what I mean? Cox,
well,
Turk, and Carla.
Well, you're not looking for more money. Well, I guess indirectly you are. You're looking to grow as a better surgeon.
Well, right. Well, that's the outcome of you know, realizing how powerful Carla and Turk are together. That's Turk's outcome. But in all honesty, the whole motivation for everybody in this is to make extra money. Turk and Carla for the wedding. Jordan and Cox for the baby and all of that stuff. Sean's bouncing to go make more money at this new job he has. And you want to get this, I forget what it is. Is it a fellowship? What is it that you need the signature for?
I don't know what it is. I don't know. But for me, it's also about, this episode's about pride. And it's also about jealousy. There's a lot of discussion of jealousy, particularly amongst you know, the love triangle of Sean and myself and Elliot.
That shit was hilarious, by the way.
What?
The shit with you and with Elliot, Sean, and freaking and JD, when she's like, it's not like he knows me really well or we have inside jokes, and then they're making out and you call and leave a message and you're like, hey, it's your great uncle, it's your Aunt Sally, whatever it is. And then
this
it goes
is your
into
Aunt Sally.
Yeah.
I want to tell you that I you.
And then you're like, just kidding.
So and so says ronk ronk or whatever,
right,
like
right,
all these
right,
inside
right,
jokes.
Right. It was hilarious, dude. I laughed.
But I mean, it's hard, you know. There's a lot of moments I think where, particularly in that love triangle, where there's jealousy. You know, JD's sitting there being a fifth wheel as the woman he realizes he really likes is making out with her boyfriend. You're happy with Carla. JD's like the fifth wheel. You know, I felt bad for him.
I looked at it like, this is going to sound weird. I was like, holy shit, this is like real life. This is like when we used to go out and Zach would be single and I'd be with Casey and Sarah would be with her guy at the time. Mm-hmm. And we'd go out and you'd be the single one in the bunch.
The single fifth wheel, just staring at Sarah, being like, oh, kill that fucking guy. No, I'm just kidding.
I got to tell you, I saw it totally different than the both of you. I thought this was such a strong episode.
Oh, nobody's saying that it wasn't a strong episode.
We're not saying it's not a strong episode.
I thought the relationships, and it was the beginning of, will you guys get together or won't you? I thought it was really well done. I thought like all three relationships commented on each other. I thought it was really structurally in terms of the writing. It was. I thought all the main characters, like you, really all shined. Mm. There was also a funny runner with a riddle and the janitor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The episode has a, this is one of those ones that has a few really memorable things that fans love. First and foremost, that riddle people always love.
Great.
Two coins add up to 30 cents. One of them's not a nickel. What are they? The hair met. People love the hair met.
I'm going to scrub my hands and love do it. My scrub my hands dance. Scrub my hands and do the scrub my hands dance. That's huge.
Another major thing is you doing your Aaron Neville impression, which we've learned is not as good as mine, but, you know, it's good.
Your Aaron Neville, like, even when you listen to it on the show, it's like, you know when I'm doing it. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right, but it ain't Zach Braff's.
Well, no, I mean, you know, I know on this show it's confusing because sometimes people are like, is he doing DJ Khaled or is he doing Aaron Neville? But it's a really glorious impression. There were some other things. Like a baguette.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go through.
Let's go. All right.
Yeah, and Rob, you know how it goes. Just chime in anytime you want to say something.
I took my notes. I got my notes for everybody because I usually watch thinking about me, but I really wrote notes for everybody else.
Good. Good.
Because I'm so happy to.
I love how you said I watch for me, meaning that you even when you're not going to be a guest on the podcast, you watch the episode and take notes about your own stuff, so you'll be able to listen.
Well, there's an iconic. There's a sterile high five in this episode that people still ask me. It's so relevant today. It's the only CDC approved high five, along with mental a high five. So.
Well, this episode was notably directed by John Inwood, who was our cinematographer for the whole run of Scrubs.
No, not the whole run. Up until season.
Well, up until the very end, maybe.
Yeah, 8.
So this sort of starts to happen in season 3. Some people like. So our editor had directed, but this was our DP's first episode. I also always remembered this joke that Johnny C. says at 125. If they took porn off the internet, there'd only be one website left, and it would be about, and it would say, bring back porn.
Yeah. This is really interesting. This is before all of these social networks were around also. So, like, right. This is like the early beginnings of social networking and stuff like that. So I remember Perez Hilton and all of, you know, and that he was the biggest entertainment website there was at the time when we were doing Scrubs and stuff like that. Now there's so many of them. Now there's like, you know, a bunch of them that
I wonder what there was. Was there MySpace? Yeah, there must have been MySpace.
MySpace was around, but it was crashing all the time at this point. Okay. You know what I mean? And emailing was kind of, you know, we were emailing. But it wasn't as, you know, people had AOL at this time and Yahoo and stuff like that.
Zanga and LiveJournal for the children.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like this is a time where, you know, a lot of the things that we're dealing with, a lot of the hardware that we have right now didn't exist. We didn't have iPhones at this point. We had cell phones are just starting to be really used like Clueless the movie, you know what I mean?
Right.
Clueless was so far ahead of its time that it's like 5, 6 years, 7 years later that people really start, you know, using handsets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I remember my MySpace page. I was super into it. Did you guys do it?
I didn't do MySpace.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do MySpace.
Back in the day, for sure.
Yeah, MySpace was fun. You could pick your song and they'd come to your page and there'd be a song playing.
Oh, man.
I didn't do MySpace. I didn't do Black Planet. I didn't do any of those things.
But all those things are like in the infancy of social media. Now, most people, if you're savvy enough, you only use social media to make money. Whereas back then, it was just like, oh, I'm going to go on MySpace and put a song on. It just seemed so much more innocent than it is now.
Well, yeah, now. Yeah.
And I think people weren't as mean. I mean, now it's just like such the wild west of mean people. So we're going to take a quick break.
What? I agree with you. I was going to say before we
let's
go any
take
further,
a quick break,
break.
And when we come back, we will get into the most interesting topic related to Rob Mascio, and that is his banana hammock and how he maintained his physique. We'll be right back. And we're back with Rob Mascio. So, Rob, tell us about the banana hammock. You must have had to work out a lot because you were in great shape. I do remember you told me once that you ate a pint of Ben and Jerry's every day. Was that the case?
I think during those years I was constantly starved or deprived of sugar, so maybe I might have eaten a lot of ice cream too.
How old in all honesty, because you always look young. You're Italian, so you got that olive complexion, and your skin is smooth and everything like
Thank
that.
You.
I don't know if you're Botoxing or anything like that, but you're looking good still.
Thank you. Sir.
How old were you when we were making Scrubs?
57 years old.
But,
well, I was, MILF status, 34, turning 35 on the pilot, so now I'm 54 today. So wow. I'm GILF status.
You
I'm
look
GILF
great.
Status.
You look great.
GILF five. You know.
No, but that's like grandmother. I'd like to fuck.
Yeah, but Rob's character
yeah, I'm
was 54. Into that.
I'm 54 now, guys. It's okay.
You're not a grandfather. You're the age that.
Are you single, Rob?
I'm single, so I can date women anywhere from 50 to 60 years.
Do you have an account on one of the websites that people who want to date you could find you? Are you on Tinder or something?
No, I'm too busy. I don't have time for that stuff. I don't really have time.
Because you know we're trying to get something going with Joelle, where we're trying to find her a mate. But I'm thinking about you. I feel like if you were on one of the big websites, we could just send a lot of traffic to your way. But you're saying you're abstinent. You're not interested.
Well, I mean, it's quarantine, and there hasn't been a lot of bone fishing in the year 2020. Let's face it, for anybody. It's been very tricky out there. You got to be careful. You can't just
Of course.
You got to know what watering hole. You have to know what watering holes to bone fish in. You gotta be careful.
Yeah, you gotta be careful, Rob. Well, at least there's internet porn, and you can just take things into your own hands and make sure.
Oh
you're
safe. My God!
What?
Well, it takes two hands. I like you know, that. It takes a village.
Well, we know it takes two hands with you because we
no,
saw.
No, he said it takes a village. He said it takes a village.
When you first were put into the blaze covered banana hammock, what were your thoughts? Were you insecure about showing your body on TV? I mean, obviously you're in good shape, but it might have been intimidating coming onto set with just a little banana hammock.
Well, there is a quick story because it's the first time we ever did that. And I really brainstormed with Carrie Bennett, the costume designer, about what we were going to wear because I come out of the shower with a rat. I try to rat tail you.
Yeah.
Right.
And if I don't have anything on, that scene's not going to make it into the episode. So we really had meetings and she went to West Hollywood and bought 20 different sort of bikinis. And I tried them all on for her. And then at some point we settled on the flame because it matched my,
your hat.
Your scrub hat.
And so on the day, so I literally, guys, this is a true story, went to the weight room downstairs, took a grip, put it on. And then looked at it in the banana hammock, and I thought, oh, that's too big. No one's going to believe it. And then I took it off, cut it in half, put it back on. I was like, no, still too big. And then we're about to shoot the scene, and I stuck my head out the out my dressing room door, and I saw Randall walking by. And I said, Randall, come here. Yeah. Come in here. And I brought Randall Winston into my dressing room, and I said, take a look at this. Does this look good to you? What? What are you talking about? And I said, oh, I'm sorry. He doesn't understand. I'm all made up, oil, pumped up to do this banana hammock. And I'm wearing this grip on my penis. And I pulled my banana hammock down and showed him. I said, do you think I need this? Or is this enough without it?
So wait a second. So you're talking about the foam thing that goes on the weight bar.
The one that you put on your neck when you're doing squats.
No. He's talking about the bar.
Bench press.
Okay.
So you took it off, you cut it, and then you put it like a hot dog bun around your penis?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I really wanted a big laugh on that.
How long did you do this for? The whole run?
What did Randall say? What did Randall say? Because he's a gay man and you're oiled up and you take out your penis and it's got a koozie on it.
Well, what did Randall, he say? Randall solved it for me definitively. Randall solved the whole thing. He looked at me and he said, no, Rob, I think you're enough just the way you are. Or at least I like to think he said that. So in the end, I didn't wear anything the entire run of the show. But for that first time, It was the cut of the brief that makes the man. It wasn't necessarily the package.
Right. But did you feel the onus before cameras rolled to give a little jiggle to get some blood going down there?
Oh, God.
No, I think at that point, I just wanted to have a real funny moment with you because you had a serious scene going with Elliot. And by the way, she's in a bra and she looks tremendous. And like, there's no, chances are no one's even going to notice me unless I did something big. Because
well,
she
you
looked
did.
So hot in
you
that
did,
scene.
But Donald and I talked in an earlier episode about how I was meant to be lying in my boxers on a bed, and I didn't want it to be like, oh, ridiculous, like you know, I've jammed a sock in there. But I also didn't want to look like a Ken doll. So I remember being like, I should give this whole package a little shake, just so it's, you know, there's a little blood.
Just so there's a little freshness going on down
there's
there.
There's a little blood that's like, hey, am I needed? Right. And you know, and then you roll real quick.
Well,
did you do that, I mean, Rob? That's what he's trying to ask. Did you masturbate just, before you put on your banana?
No,
hammock?
Not masturbate, Donald. Just get shit moving a little.
Just give
did
a little,
you touch yourself?
Self-fluff? Did you fluff?
Did you fluff before the banana
sorry,
hammock?
Sorry, Joelle. This is the last question. Joelle.
It was really, I owe it all to Carrie Bennett. She picked out the perfect cut of a banana hammock, and it wasn't necessary because it pushed everything
you
up.
You are a gentleman, Rob, talking about your junk. Because if it were me, I'd be like, yo, that was all me, dog. That was all me.
Well, if it were
you know
you,
what
there,
I would do?
If it were you,
yo, you know
no
what?
Question.
And you know what? I didn't even have to touch it, son. That's how I come. I woke up like this, son. I woke up like this.
Yeah, well, if That's it was true. You, we all know that there wouldn't be any need for... For any shake. All right. Now, Rob, you're aware, of course, that when we moved to ABC, they were unable to continue shooting you below the waist when you were in
no
your
banana hammock after that.
Did you know that, Rob?
Yeah, I knew that because it was disappointing because on that Bahamas episode, it was so funny. And then
that was one of the best. Yeah. That's a lot of people don't know that. The Bahamas episode was... Rob, when they cut to Rob walking on the beach, he's walking in his banana hammock.
Yeah.
And it was one of, and the banana hammock goes up your butt and everything. Like it's like thonged out
so,
and everything.
It
dude.
Was so funny.
And it was so funny, but ABC.
Yeah, when we moved to ABC, because they're owned by Disney, I guess, or whatever, they had different standards and practices, obviously, than NBC. And they were like, no, you're not putting that on television.
No, Rob's banana hammock was so. I'm going to use the excuse I'm going to give. It was so big that they were like, nah.
Well, I think also it was clearly a penis. It wasn't like, oh, that's a bump. I think you could see like outline of shaft.
And balls, yes.
ABC did some weird things like they just made you say words like boobies instead of boobs. Like it seems somewhat arbitrary, their standards and practices. Just like a full cut, a cut of somebody wearing a banana hammock is just funnier than like crop. So, like, I was all about, like, what's the funniest visual thing on everything I did, right. You know? So it was disappointing that they cut that, but who cares?
Tell us about the tattoo, Rob. How was that applied? Just a little bit of Rob trivia. Was it a stencil kind of thing?
You know, people to this day, they tweet me and they ask me if it's real or if it was fake. And so I always answer to them that it's whatever you want it to be. And then they're like, I knew it.
I knew
truth
it.
Truth of the matter is, they love it. But I've had thousands of these. And I used to give these out at Comic-Cons, these duck tattoos.
Right.
Because this is exactly the way the stamp was. And then they would color fill us where somebody would color it in.
How did
so
you
it was
get it?
Stamped. It was stamped and colored in. I had somebody make these for me because nice. Kids love these. And I'll give them to them, and they'll wear them at Comic-Con.
Are they for sale?
No, I just give them out. You could have them for merch if you want. But
I'd like to have it. Yeah, we should buy them off Rob
Doc.
And sell them Doc
him
merch.
Holy shit.
I'm seeing
Doc, Doc merch. Doc,
how many
Doc
do you have,
tattoo?
Rob? How many do you got right now?
I probably have. I gave out that. I just give them. I used to send a picture to somebody and then give them a free Doc tattoo. So
how many you got, Rob?
Have,
we're in the.
I probably have a box somewhere in my store.
All right,
we're
Joelle,
in the merch business.
We're gonna buy them off, Rob. And now that we're in the merch business, amongst all the other merch you can get, you'll be able to get an actual Rob fake Doc tattoo. I think a lot of people are you for Halloween, usually, Rob. I always see lots of high five Todds.
They sometimes go as you. They sometimes go as me. But I see more you, Rob, than I see of anyone from the show.
Yeah, a lot of high five Todds.
I see you. People, buddies like to go as the two of you.
Yeah. Right.
It's Turkey and JD.
Right, but there's always someone that comes up that's like, all right, fine, if you guys are Turk and JD, then I'm fucking the Todd. It's just that simple.
It's a fun character to go as Halloween because it's not just a costume, it's a character.
Rob, before COVID and everything, you would do sort of Comic-Con type events, right? And sign stuff and high-five people?
There are certain places in the world I always wanted to go to. And I sought out a couple of Comic-Cons. And in the end of the day, I went to Australia 3 times.
Nice.
Germany 6 times, throughout the UK, Vienna. So I did Comic-Cons in places I wanted to travel to.
Right.
And it was fascinating to realize the reach of the show and to see people from different countries embrace the show. It was really interesting. Yeah. Time
that is awesome. Would you stay extra while you were there? Like, would you stay days after the Comic-Cons and experience the places? Or would you just go do the Comic-Cons and whatever amount of time you had there, you would tourist?
Well, I went to Australia, and I liked the people who ran the Oz Comic Con so much that I went back the next year, and I brought Sam Lloyd with me, and we went to Perth and Adelaide together, and we stayed for 14 days. And then the next year, we went to Brisbane and Sydney together. And so I took 2 trips with Sam Lloyd, and wow, the two of us like had the time of our lives together.
That's
we
amazing.
Would go on stage and do like 1 hour shows, and like it was a really special time to share that with somebody who I love so much. And it was like an experience I'll never forget. So I'm very thankful for those trips. Yeah.
Do you think you'll do more when the world reopens? Will you do it more of it or no? Are you over it?
I think quite honestly, I've hit every country I've really wanted to go to. Unfortunately, they don't really do them in Italy, which is one place I'd like to go. And I think that period of my life is over. You know, I kind of did it for like over 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And I'm like on to other stuff now. So no, I think that's
and
over.
You're in real estate now. You appear to be, just from following you on social media, killing it in the west side of LA real estate market.
Well, you're very kind. It's very competitive, but I live in Santa Monica and I love it here. And I've lived in this area of Ocean Park for like 20 years. And I just sell homes. I love where I live and I sell what I know. And like, I'm very good at it. And the work ethic and all the qualities you need to have to be a successful actor are qualities you need to have to be a successful broker. Tenacity, never taking no for an answer, never giving up, outworking people, and really knowing what you're doing. So I'm having a great time with it. And, you know, it's always like I really connect with people one-on-one. And I really, you know, it's a huge decision when you buy or sell a home. And I want to really live up to those expectations for those people.
Do you have people that are looking at a house and all of a sudden do a double take and like, holy shit, it's High Five Todd?
Yes. many years ago, I think you made a joke to me. I don't know why I remember this. It's like, Rob, you probably say when you meet a girl, you know, I'm the Todd from Scrubs. That's probably your opening line. At the time I said no, but it's certainly my closing line. So my thing with real estate is it's never my opening line, but it's always my closing line. So yeah. Like if I get to know somebody and I'm doing well with them, and then at the end, oh, by the way, I happen to be on the show, they're like, oh, that's it. I love this guy.
I'll buy this house. I can't afford it. I can't afford this house.
Can't afford
because
it.
You're High Five Todd. Let's go all in. Cash, okay?
You know what I wanted to say to you? And I should I should mention that I was a realtor in the early days of the podcast. And somebody in San Diego.
Did we get you any clients?
Yes, you did. You got not only you. Someone
so we
in
get
San
commission.
Diego,
where's our commission, bro?
He's selling his house in Escondido and he wanted me to do it. But it's since I happen to have a family friend who's down there. And I referred it to my friend because he's a very good realtor and he sold the house for him. Thanks to you guys. I got a little referral fee, but yes, somebody who listened to the podcast, put him in contact with a really good realtor in San Diego and he sold his house.
So do you just do Santa Monica or you do Venice and around there too?
Just, you know, my last 10 sales have all been like west of Lincoln. So like Santa Monica, Venice, Marina Del Rey. Anything west of Lincoln, I guess west of the 405, but I really, you guys say, oh, you have olive skin. I live at the beach. Like I'm looking at the ocean right now and I just like it. I like the lifestyle here. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you're
I'm
living the dream.
Sell.
Well, if you're in the market for a house, I'm sure you can search for Rob and come live in LA at the beach and you can, do you surf, Rob?
Surf, everything, all stuff at the beach, surf, right. Run, whatever.
We should probably talk about the show a smidgen more. How about Johnny wanting that hot-ass nanny to be the nanny? I think hot nannies are a bad idea. Anyone? Let's all weigh in on that. Bad idea. Donald, have you ever had a really hot nanny?
you know what? I don't want to say no because I don't want to insult anybody. The nannies that I've had have been very beautiful people and very beautiful
women. Okay, you're being PC. Women. I mean, have you I'm had a distractingly being, hot
had,
nanny?
No, I've not had someone who was
I've
like,
never understood
you know,
these people. I've been to people's houses and they're like, oh, this is the nanny. And she walks in and she could be a supermodel. I'm like, this just feels like a stupid idea for everybody involved.
Well, not Dr. If your marriage Cox is strong. Says, Dr. Cox says, oh, that our nanny just left. And Krista, who's so funny, says, yeah, she's got great credentials. Great perky credentials. Great perky credentials. It was so funny. Krista was very funny in this episode.
Too. Oh, yeah. Gosh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. Dating a girl or boy who is consistently... Okay, so let me ask you a question. Have you ever dated someone and every time you hung out with them, or almost every time you hung out with them, their ex was around hanging out too?
Yes, God. I've been in that situation. It's horrible. What?
You have been in that situation.
Let me tell you something that happened to me. I took my college girlfriend. We had no money, so we went on a very low-budge backpacking trip around Europe, like on Eurail, taking the trains, staying in hostels, backpacks, as low-budge as we can do it. And every city we ended up in, her ex-boyfriend showed up in that city.
What?
And he was like... He was like, I'm doing a trip too. I can't believe we keep ending up in the same cities. And without fail, every city we ended up in, he'd be there. And it was really, really sad for me.
That is a, you should be writing that movie as well.
That is
sus. That is super suspect.
Stalkery.
Now, do you guys think that she was, I don't think, and I'm just thinking of it so many years later. I was literally fucking 20 years old. Do you think that she was telling him where we were going, or do you think that he was being stalkery and just figuring it out?
I think he found that itinerary and was like, let me jump on this trip, I think happened, dude.
He was doing what JD does in this episode at the end when he runs with the flowers, thinking like, I don't care, hell or high water, I am going to get this girl back and I'm going to be in every romantic city they go to. And we were in like all like Venice and Florence and...
Did he ever stay at the same hostel as you guys?
No, but the motherfucker would actually do like, Zach?
Oh my God.
So-and-so whose name I'm not going to say? What are you guys doing here? And it was like, bro, we just fucking saw you in Venice. What's going on? Stop.
I know.
Did they
exactly
ever get back together?
No. But I mean, the guy was all in.
Married for you.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they were because he's very persistent.
Oh, this is it. I'll make it even worse for you. Oh my God, you want to hear how bad it got? I haven't told this story ever. So we're in Rome and she wants to get up very early, crack of dawn on Christmas Day and go to a church service in Rome for Christmas.
Aww.
And she says, hey, I know this might be a little bit odd, but my ex, of course, he's here in Rome. He wants to come with me. But it's, you know, it's church and you don't want to go to church. Do you mind if I go with him? It's like a 7 a.m. service. I'm like, okay, yeah. Okay. I guess it's a little weird, but okay, sure. So they go to their church thing. The thing about Rome is on Christmas Day, everything shuts down. I mean, public transportation shuts down. There's just, it's no one is getting around in any way. And so I literally, they were across town together and I was alone and I spent the day walking around Rome alone, knowing my girlfriend was with her ex on the other side of Rome, walking around on Christmas Day.
How long after that trip did you guys break up?
Not too long after that.
I see.
Because I was just, have you guys been in the situation when you're like, I don't want to be like overly jealous for no reason, but you're also like, but am I crazy? Like,
no,
should I? No, but I'm like, you know, you guys know that dance where you're like, should I be jealous or am I being an idiot for being jealous? And you're kind of like vacillating between the two.
Yeah, but at that point, that's just too suspect. I'm sorry. Dude shows up for the trip. Christmas Day comes. And she says, I want to take my ex to the church. I know you don't like church. I'm going to take my ex.
Yeah.
That's fishy as fuck, dude.
Yeah.
And then they were gone. And then because of no public transportation, we couldn't, Billy, because of public transportation.
Billy knows. Billy's like, that's Vince. That was
sus.
You.
That was sus.
That's dog. That's dog for you, stupid motherfucker. Oh, I don't want to be jealous. I hate being jealous. It's the worst feeling. Hmm.
She told him. She told him. Obviously. You think? Obviously, yes. She told him what y'all were doing, especially if she went to church with him after that.
Oh, man, it hurts. It hurts inside. All right, hold on. We're going to should we go to a break, Joelle, before the fan call? We're going to go to break, and then we're going to take a fan, and I'm going to let my dog out because she has lots to say at the door. We will be right back. Let's bring in the caller. I hope he or she wants some innuendo jokes from Rob.
In your Devin endo. Frieder. In your endo.
In your right. endo.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up, give
Hello,
it up Devin. For Devin Frieder. You are on Fake Doctors, Real Friends with Joelle, Daniel, Zach Braff, Donald Faison, and our guest, Rob Mascio. Devin Frieder!
Hi, Devin.
You
welcome.
Right.
Yes, Devin, welcome to the program. How are you? Tell us where you're calling from.
Calling from the Upper West Side in Manhattan.
Hey.
Oh. Hey.
Donald grew up in Hell's Kitchen, so he knows that side of the island, at least.
I did. I went to... Where on the Upper West Side? We don't have to give your exact address, but where on the Upper West Side are you?
Like, in the 70s.
I went to IS-44. Are you near there?
Maybe. I'm not
she
really
She probably
there.
Doesn't know where the public
are not,
schools
are. Are you not from New York? Are you not from New York?
I'm from New Mexico, Santa Fe.
Oh, nice.
How long have you lived in New York for?
6 or 7 years now, I think.
And you live in the 70s and you don't know, and on the Upper West Side, and you don't know where the junior high schools or the anything like that is?
Yeah, but Donald, I live in Manhattan. I don't know where my local public schools are or what they're called or what their numbers are.
I grew up there. That's
yeah.
why I
yeah,
know.
It's
I'm
different.
Sorry, guys.
I pass them. I pass them. I just don't know which one has which name. I teach ballet at a school in the West 80s.
Which school? Which school?
Manhattan Country School.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you is that, oh my God. Yeah. Are you single? Because Rob will move to.
Well, I went to college on the Upper West Side. I went to Columbia. I lived on the Upper West Side for many years. And you're teaching
Columbia's
ballet.
Not on the Upper West Side, dog.
Yeah, it is. 114th Street.
But that ain't, yeah, but it's
that's
like.
Harlem,
that's the
right?
Upper West Side.
That's Harlem, big homie.
Harlem yeah. starts at 125.
Harlem starts at 110th Street.
No,
I'm surprised. I bet a lot of
that's
our
how you white people do us, man. You just keep pushing Harlem up and up and up and up and up. I see how you do.
Oh my God!
I bet a lot of people are surprised to learn that High Five Todd went to an Ivy League school.
Well, oh, you know, guys, I graduated in 1988. I was classmates with Neil Gorsuch. He's on the Supreme Court.
Oh my yeah. God!
Wow. So Neil Gorsuch, wow. every morning he wakes up, he puts on a robe. And he decides whether or not women should have the right to choose. Every morning I wake up, put on a robe, and decide whether or not I'm going to take an online Kundalini yoga class led by a gentleman named Taboo. Life is funny. Life is
yeah.
funny. How
yeah.
things change.
I feel like his money at Columbia was better spent than yours. All right, Devin, do you have a question for any of us? You have the special honor of having Rob here today. It's an extra bonus.
I know, it's awesome. Well, I wanted to say, when I initially wrote in, I had been talking about, so I come from a family of doctors. My dad's a neurosurgeon, all my uncles are doctors, and then my brother Casey's a chiropractor, and my brother Ryan is an anesthesiologist in Tucson, Arizona. So he actually got me into the show because when Scrubs started, he was doing his residency. So it's kind of like a cool way for us to relate. So it's my favorite show of all time. But I am actually an actor in musical theater. So different from, from all the doctor stuff. So the first question I wanted to ask you guys was if you could recast Scrubs with the Muppets, who would each character
fuck yeah.
be?
Hell yeah.
Donald feels like he's answered this question before.
I feel like Turk and JD are Ernie and Bert.
Yes, clearly.
I feel like
am I Ernie or am I Bert?
It doesn't matter. Either one of them is fine. I think you're more. Okay. I think you're more Bert than Ernie, though.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like. Let me see. The janitor.
Mr. Snuffleupagus. Or no, the Grouch. The Grouch.
Oscar the Grouch.
Sorry, garbage and grouchy. Got it. Good one.
Right. I think that Dr. Cox, that's a tough one, but he would be somebody like either Kermit the Frog or, you know, it depends on what Muppets you're doing also. If we're doing Sesame Street, this is the way to go. But if
Sarah's got to be Miss Piggy.
Right. If you're doing the Muppets like Kermit, Fozzie and them, then obviously Fozzie.
Oh, Rob is Fozzie.
No, Turk is Fozzie. Fozzie Bear, Brown Bear,
No, but Rob has all the waka 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 jokes.
Yeah, sure.
See, I feel like Rob is Animal.
Agreed, oh. Devin.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
That's true, Rob. You're Animal.
But I think it would be Kermit's JD, Fozzie's Turk, Miss Piggy is Elliot. I feel like Oscar the Grouch would be the janitor and or Kelso.
And Sam Lloyd could be Elmo.
Well, I think yeah, that's a great, or Scooter. Scooter from...
Or I was thinking Beaker.
Yeah. Or Beaker, right. Yeah. This is a tough one. It's going to take me a while to really think about it.
But. Yeah, by the way, Donald's going to get so high later and really think about this. And
you guys think I'm joking. On the next show, I will have been baked so hard tonight that I will write down who I think should be. I will answer your question on the next show, Devin.
Okay.
All right, good one, Devin. And do you have another question for us?
Yes. So, as I mentioned, I do musical theater.
Hey guys, do you think Devin is in musical theater, guys?
Yes, Devin is in musical theater.
You think she's in musical theater?
I'm sorry to help. I say it enough.
It's a tough time to be in musical theater because it is. You know, everyone's out of work, and they just announced, I think it was today, that they're pushing anything to, is it May minimum?
Yeah.
May
minimum.
Which of course is going to keep going, I'm sure, but.
Well, it depends on what happens. It depends on what happens this year and the beginning of next year.
May, I'm just saying May sounds a little early to me, but I'm not going to tell Devin.
Dude, shoot. I heard later than that, but okay.
All right, Devin, go ahead. You like musical theater. You're talking to the right crowd. Go ahead.
Yes. So my question was, Zach, if you could star in another Broadway musical, what show and role would you pick? And also cast Donald in it.
I would like to do Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, okay? Because here's why. A, I can sing the lead, all right? I'm the right age to play the lead. It's a very funny show. I love the music from it. And the last time they did it, with all due respect to Donny Osmond, it was like a very campy version. I mean, it was very... like I think the show... you know, there's this whole trend now with taking musicals instead of classic ones like Oklahoma, for example, and kind of deconstructing them and doing more raw interpretations of them. And Joseph, the last big tour of it, as I recall, was like Donny Osmond in flaming capes and very campy. And I just feel like it's you know, the story of Joseph is a really insane Bible story. The music is so fun and it's so silly. I would love to do Joseph. So if you're a Broadway producer and you're listening, when the world reopens, I want to do Joseph.
Yo.
I want Devin to be in it. I want Donald. Donald could play
I got an idea.
Wait, can I tell you're going to play? Yeah, Pharaoh. Yeah.
Okay.
Because in Joseph, if you don't know, when Pharaoh turns around, it's played by an Elvis impersonator. And I think it would be hilarious if when Pharaoh turned around, it was you dressed as Elvis.
I hear you. Okay. Okay.
Do you like that answer, Devin?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, and Devin, you're going to be.
Here's what I think. Here's what I think. If they could make, and I'm just going to answer the question because I really think this is a good idea. If they could make any Broadway musical right now, I would like to put into the hat the Broadway musical for Back to the Future, the first.
They're doing that.
Are they?
Of course they are.
I think it opened in London.
I think that is a. First of all, the sets could be amazing, and you only have to do the clock tower set for most of the show. You know what I mean? Like, that's the transition and all of that stuff. I think Back to the Future with 50s musical numbers and 1985 musical numbers, and then it all coming together at the end with him playing Chuck Berry, I think would be such a good fucking
show. Devin, do you can you really sing? Like, well, or are you more of a dancer?
I'm a singer too. Yeah, I am.
Do you want to sing on the podcast right now?
Yeah. Do you want to sing something like "Defying Gravity"? Do you want to sing the end of "Defying Gravity" for us?
Well, I was thinking because, you know, obviously I haven't had a lot of work during this year. I also teach Broadway workshops for Disney Theatrical. And as long as all the Broadway shows are closed, those are dark. But what I've been doing on the side to try and make some money is virtual princess parties.
Have you been doing a lot? Because you got the Elsa haircut right now.
I did one today. Yeah. So I'll Zoom with, you know, kids for like 30 minutes and sing to them and do story time and stuff. And
let her plug her thing. Tell parents how they would find you do an Elsa birthday party, because Donald has a daughter that probably would love an Elsa birthday party.
She would.
Yes. So I have a Facebook page. You would just go to facebook.com/Devons, Devons princess parties. And I have all my, some pictures and flyers and email contact on there. And yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
And I thought I could do some Let It Go and Donald could sing it with me, because I know it's one of his favorites.
Well, here's a question.
Yes.
It's not really my favorite. I do like the song a lot. It's not really my favorite. My favorite is "Bees Will Buzz, Kids Will Blow Dandelion Fuzz, and I'll Be Doing Whatever Snow Does in Summer."
All right, but give us Devin, if you want to give us a little something, there's no pressure.
Sure.
We there's a few people all over the world that actually listen to this. And I think that Bernie Telsey, for all you know, who's the biggest Broadway cast director, for all we know, he's an avid fan, and he's going to go, "Holy fuck, somebody get Devin.
Get me Devin. Get me Devin. Get if Devin only. On the line."
If only. Sure.
Right, but not too much, Devin. Just give us, like, I don't know, few bars. A few bars, Devin.
Okay. Got like 8 bars. "Let it go, let it go, can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go, turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway."
By the way, great job. And that could have gone either way, Devin. I'm sure everyone listening at home was like, "Oh, please be good.
God, make it be good.
Oh, please, God, be good.
Please don't freestyle rap."
Yeah, Devin, because we did have someone freestyle rap on here. It wasn't great. It wasn't great.
That was awesome. That was amazing.
Thank you.
So listen, if you go to get Devin to be your Elsa for your kid's birthday party, you're also going to get that level of "Let It Go." It comes with that.
And
there's more.
But wait, there's more. If you act now, I'll also sell you some Ginsu knives.
So, it's my best friend right here.
Yeah. It's a little chihuahua for you at home. Go ahead.
Kira the Chihuahua. Also, she was really hoping to get an Oprah intro, Donald. Her name's Kira Luna.
Ladies and gentlemen,
but Donald,
give it.
Not too loud for the people who have a latching baby. Go ahead.
For those of you who are latched, who have the baby latched right now, maybe turn down.
Turn down your volume, because Donald's going to get loud. Okay. Donald, give the Chihuahua his due.
Well, I forgot the Chihuahua's name.
What is it? Is it it's latch? What is it?
It's Kira Luna.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Kira Luna!
Okay, thank you. You can now restore your volume and reset the latch.
Wow, thank you. So what I was going to say is that she sometimes makes an appearance in these princess parties. She has, when I do Ariel, she has a flounder costume. Yeah. Elsa, she has a Sven costume. Cinderella, she's got a Gus costume. So she's
now Rob. I'm gonna Rob wants to know if you do these for 50-year-old men as well, or is it solely for children
on Zoom.
On Zoom?
I think it's great. I think you're being very entrepreneurial and you're making the most of these times. And as long as you're performing every day, whether it's to one person or five people, it's a great thing, and it'll lead to more things for you. So yeah. I just want to wish you continued success.
That's great. Absolutely. And you know what? This is the way people are having to adjust. You know, we're talking about doing a virtual tour because we can't tour. So we're talking about taking this show and I don't know what the hell we're doing, but we're going to do sort of a concert version of this. Josh Radin is playing all these concert versions for people in their homes and stuff like that.
This is a great segue, actually, into our favorite segment of the Fake Doctors, yes. Real Friends
Not
podcast.
Not just ours, Donald. Everywhere around the world.
Everywhere. They love this. They love this part of the podcast. And that is, Devin, it's time to
fix your life. Rob, we're going to offer advice here to however Devin needs to have her life fixed.
Okay.
Go ahead, Devin. How can we fix your life?
All right. So I was going to ask a dating question, actually.
Rob is the perfect
Rob
person
is good
to
at
ask.
This. Are you a single person, Devin?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good, and good, good. Oh, my God.
I know you'll be shocked to hear that I do musical theater, but it is very hard to meet guys in my field because most of the guys I interact with are either gay or taken or very self-absorbed. So it can be difficult.
Right.
And particularly during a pandemic to meet new people, I'm not someone who's going to I don't want to meet someone at a bar or... You know, so, and dating apps are just the worst. So I was going to ask, how do I meet my soulmate?
Oh, wow. Your soulmate?
Yeah. She's ready to meet the one.
Yes.
She's ready to meet the one.
That might be a little bit above my pay grade, dude. I could tell you how to hook up, but I can't tell you how to meet your soulmate.
Why are you so averse to the apps? I mean, there's so many of them. It really enables you to not be in a loud bar being like, what do you do for a living? You know, I think I know a lot of people of all different walks of life who found the right app for them and have met their one.
Perfect example, Daniel Goodman.
Daniel, my contractor who has the cutest family you've ever seen, and they're both adorable. I told them they should be the ad for Match. They met on Match. I know some of them, maybe on Tinder, which is about hooking up. But I mean, there's some ones that are good. Why are you so against it?
I try them. So I do what I can, but it is hard on any of them, to find guys that aren't just there to hook up.
Right.
And
because men are gross.
Well, I'm glad I'm not one of them.
Yeah. Men other than Donald are gross. Have you tried J-Date, Farmers Only? I mean, have you branched out?
Farmers Only. I'll tell you. Don't overlook it.
Well, you gotta be. We had this conversation. You gotta be a farmer to be on Farmers Only, guys.
No, you don't. Not if you're a beautiful woman. If she's willing to move to Bumblefuck and be on a farm,
I get it. So
it's not gonna be great for her musical theater career. But if she's willing to move to an Idaho potato farm.
If you're a gentleman like myself, being on Farmers Only is not a good idea. But if you're a lovely person like Devin, who's willing to move to Idaho, Farmers Only is a good idea. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm wondering if my small vegetable garden qualifies me to be on Farmers Only. how much land do you have to be working?
My dad suggested I do J-Date. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think, you're in New York. There's a lot of nice Jewish boys. I think you should
upper
be
West
open.
Side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Upper West
yeah,
Side.
Upper West sure. Side. It's where they're all congregating. No pun intended. I don't know. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. I don't know what to tell you, especially during COVID. I feel like the apps were a godsend for a lot of people because before that, it was literally you had to go to a bar, or you had to go to a club, or you had to, like, you know, go on awkward first dates where you knew nothing about the person. Like, there was zero physical attraction or zero banter. And I feel like a lot of my friends who've met people on the apps and done well, it's like you can kind of at least narrow it down and right? Daniel, you should be speaking to this.
Daniel can speak on this.
Daniel, speak to it. He met his love.
I disagree, though.
Daniel, have we said love yet in your relationship?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. So tell.
I love her dearly.
Are you in love with her, Daniel? Are you in love with her? Because there's a difference. Okay.
We'll get into that. That's my relationship. We don't have to worry about that one right now.
But, give her.
Wait, not be selfish, Daniel. We're fixing Devin's
which
life.
Which one
right.
did you use, Daniel?
We met on Hinge. And the only piece of advice I will offer at all is be honest, be upfront, and just be straightforward with everybody. I think there's a little bit of, you know, revealing myself here, I'm 31 years old. So at this point, the person I want to meet is probably the person that I want to be with.
Right.
And I find that some of the games of dating and some of the ways we try to plus ourselves up and the ways that we try to kind of like create this perfect image in this Hinge profile or whatever, it's false. I think you just want to come out with the, like, look, I want to get drunk and sing show tunes at karaoke. If you're down, let's go on a date. If not, just swipe left. I think being honest about like that, like what's that pure joy for you? What's that pure joy that you want to share with another person that like is outside of the, because I really did the whole, hi, I'm Dan. I do this and this and this and blah, 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 blah. I was like, you know what? Screw all that. I'm not about this anymore. I like this. If you're down, let's hang out and we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Because like Joelle's is going to be, I want to get high and play video games. Are you down or not?
Damn it. That's my profile. Anyway, that's all I think.
That's great advice, Dan. Here's the thing about all of that, though. There's something really special about going out on dates with people that you don't know. There's something good about that, because if the connection is real, you know it right then and there. You know what I mean? I feel like in some ways, yeah, it's true, you're getting through all of the bullshit and stuff like that with the texting and the talking over the internet and getting to know each other before you meet. Mm. But there was something really cool about you meeting somebody. Like, I remember meeting girls on a train and being like, can I get your number? And them saying, oh, yeah, sure, or saying no. And then now it's like, all right, now what's my end to this young lady to go out on a date?
I don't know if I should give you advice as the Todd or as Robert.
No, as Robert. We definitely don't want advice as the Todd, please.
I'm somebody. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. I miss meeting people in organic situations. That to me is the best part of dating, is that wondering if there's something there and getting to know each other. And then maybe a date comes out of that. I hate the pressure that is put on of meeting someone on an app. And it's kind of like, all right, so either we're into this or not, you know?
I agree with you. I'm where you are with that whole thing.
But what do you do though, Devin? That's the thing, is like in COVID now, like you might as well be having some banter with some guys and I mean,
you have friends that you've known from the past that never got with or never dated.
Oh yeah, is there
like
one that got away, Devin, that you're like, whatever happened to Tony? Oh,
no. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. But what about after COVID? I mean, hopefully at some point.
Well, then you'll be back in a show maybe. And you know, if you're in a show, it's so great because you're going out for drinks and this one introduces you to that one. Oh, this is my cousin. This is my friend. I know what you're saying, that in the show, there's traditionally a lot of people are already coupled up or they're gay. But I found when I've done theater, there's so much socializing that it's really conducive to dating.
That is true.
I have one more piece of advice.
Yes, go ahead, Daniel.
Last thing I'm going to say about it. If the person you're talking to isn't ready to start meeting up within like 10 messages, they're not taking it seriously. I think if you're on the app, what I'm saying is if you're on the apps, your goal is to decide on somebody that you're attracted to, figure out when you're going on a date, and then going. Now, I know obviously this is a little COVID aside, but like, the dance of talking for 3 weeks or whatever is just like, let's do this in person. If they're not willing to meet up after 10 messages or something, skip. You're out. Forget that.
Yeah.
We're here to meet, not here to just talk.
Okay, what does it mean when you like text and text and text and they just don't write back though?
That means they're not interested. Texting.
Get out of there.
What are you doing?
Those are the games I was referring to earlier. We're not playing these games anymore.
Right. And Devin, I mean, I think we don't know how old you are, but to me you look 24 years old. Yes. I don't know what you are,
absolutely. Okay.
But I would say, and I know this is a sweeping generalization, but if you tend to date slightly older men, they're going to be probably less likely to just be down to just try and bang as many women as possible.
Hopefully.
So like people like Rob's age. Okay. Rob, what did you say you were?
Like 54.
Like 54-year-olds who live in on the west side of L.A.,
the Ocean Park. Right.
Those type of people.
But Devin, it's so obvious that like you came on a podcast, you sang a song, you're such an extroverted, outgoing person. You have a great personality and you look great. I have my glasses. Like, you're going to meet somebody organically in the course of your life.
Yeah, you're a catch, so Devin. Yeah.
You're totally
Thank
a catch.
Thank you.
It's just a matter of time.
You're a cat. Like,
that's what I see. Let me put my glasses on. Devin
probably doesn't want to wear like someone who has to go put on their glasses to look at the Zoom and squint.
Do they make Viagra for the eyes?
Oh, oh my God. Rob, are those trifocals?
Yeah, this is just like my readers from Rite Aid.
All right, we got to end this. Devin
looks great. Devin, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
We just fixed your life, Devin.
We fixed your life, and you're welcome.
Just go out there and stand up for yourself. You know what else stands up for itself?
Nope.
Oh my God. Rob.
Devin, I'm sorry. You had to have the Todd on. But before you were on, he admitted to padding his banana hammock, so it balances out.
No, he did not. He did not admit to that. He said
attempted
he tried
to until and then Randall he told him.
Okay, let's be honest now.
He wrapped it like a pig in a blanket.
And then he took the wrapping off. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Devin, you were a wonderful guest. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Devin. You were the best.
I love the podcast. It's helped me get through quarantine. So thank you.
And you have a beautiful voice. And I have no doubt that you're going to have a huge musical theater career.
And you have a very cute dog.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Devin,
so
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye. Be well. Have a good one. Oh, my gosh.
Thank goodness she could sing, dude. Thank goodness she could sing. That would have went really wrong.
I kind of thought if Rob had any game, there would have been a love connection.
They're on different sides of the country.
To be polite.
Okay, for those of you out there, Rob and Devin might have made a really good couple.
How old do you think she was? She looked late 20s, mid 20s?
32, early 30s probably. Mm,
I don't know, but Rob, if you're willing to move your whole life to the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
Back to New York. You're talking to a guy. I've been in an on again, off again relationship for 12 years with Amanda. I'm no one.
Dude,
you met her on Scrubs, didn't you?
You did meet her on Scrubs.
Yes. Yes.
See, when this young lady came on the podcast just now, she was very upfront that she was looking for a date. She knows that I'm in a relationship. She knows Zach's in a relationship. She knows Daniel's in a relationship. She knows Joelle that's not Joelle's, you know, unless she's willing to do things, Joelle's not into that.
I'm sorry, I'm bisexual. I don't know if people know, but.
I didn't know that, Joelle.
I didn't know that, Joelle.
We're open to all the genders.
Joelle, why did you say that shit?
Joelle, we've been fucking trucking childhood.
We're
getting into
personal business up in here.
This is new information.
Need to be revealed.
Joelle, this opens
like
up.
Todd. You're just like the Todd. Maybe you're paying. Yeah.
Thunderous applause, Dan. Thunderous applause. Joelle, we've only been trying to set you up with women. I did not know that you were fluid. Is that what you say, fluid? I did not know you were fluid.
Okay, so this changes the game. This changes the game because it was
so. Joelle, this is Rob. So Joelle, this is Rob.
This is Rob.
Oh my gosh!
Nice to meet you.
But that's gonna be great though, Joelle. When we do finally get you on one of these dating apps, you're gonna have a lot more options because I didn't know that you were a bi.
Yeah. Yes. The spice rush it's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be wild. If we can make it work.
No, now it's gonna be crazy. Now it's gonna be wild. Now it's gonna be be crazy a while.
Oh boy! All right, we didn't get to too much of the show.
It's very hot in here.
I laughed when I'm trying to spy on Elliot and Sean, and I get attacked by bees. I'm trying to be stealth, and I'm like bees.
Well, I also laughed really hard at Rob's. Does she also make you wax your vagina?
Yes. And then a sterile high five. What about
I laughed real hard at this one too. 3 days, Sean. No, Elliot. 4 days, Sean. No, 6 months, Elliot. 5 days.
What about when Kelsa goes, "Well, snip my pickle and call me Shlomo." And then Bob Kelsa goes, "It's 10 inches." And then Matt Winston goes, "It's like a baguette."
Yeah. Freaking. So, what? Yeah.
He's seen Kelso's car.
He goes, "Bob Kelso, 10 inches. And then he walks up and goes, "It's like a baguette."
Yeah. And I don't know if that was his joke or one of the writer's jokes or somebody, but that was improv in the moment. And it was so fucking funny on that.
Scott Foley in a fat suit.
Scott Foley in a fat suit was
funny. That was funny. I laughed.
What about Liberry Strawberry?
Strawberry. I laughed at that too.
Yeah, this is one of Troy's big first. Well, actually, this is Troy's second episode.
Third episode.
Okay.
I think Carl and Turk are really cute in this episode. Also, I think their banter is very cute, and it reminds me of my wife when I try to explain to her why she's a pain. And then she lets me know that I am a pain and that, you know, all of the things that pain me, she could easily reverse the tables and say the exact same thing.
I liked it when Troy says to the janitor, "Shouldn't we just kill him?" And then janitor goes, "No, that's what he wants
that's
us
what
to
he
do.
Wants us to do."
Troy is like a fucking felon. Like Troy wants to murder somebody.
Yeah. That bus station was the back door to the hospital, though. That wasn't like, they didn't even go to a bus. That was just like, rented a Greyhound bus.
The audience
they do now.
But by the way, I had forgotten that Sean stayed and JD runs and brings her the flowers and then there's Sean. Saying he's going to make it work long distance. So sad for JD.
Did you improvise that line where you're like, "I'm not sure the flowers are going to reach the water"?
Yeah, that's mine.
That's so funny.
Because he's gotten her this giant bouquet and I have my little shitty bouquet and they go, "Just stick them in there." And I'm like, not sure they can reach the water.
But then it cuts to that shot of Sarah and Scott at the end going at it. Oh, my God, were they kissing?
Yeah, well, Sarah probably thought Scott Foley's not going to be on the show much longer. I need to get mine. Oh, my God. There's been so many revelations in this show. Joelle is open to men and women.
What about strangely attractive intern?
That's a great line.
That's a great line because she's strangely attractive.
Those are two really good high fives. I miss you five and sterile high five.
I miss you. High five. Yeah.
Because I'm trying to get you guys Turk to come hang out with the guys. Yeah. And Carlos got a blocking you from coming out.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said all these notes, you guys, because all these jokes, you guys, I have them all listed down there.
We just like
funny.
To write down the stuff. And then the other one. Yeah, go ahead.
Me too. That's what I did. No, if you have other things. Like with Sarah's, I could go a long time with that sex, Sean. I'm like a sex camel. It's very sincere.
Oh, poor Elliot. I felt bad for her. But then Sean comes back, that handsome bastard. All right, I think we did it, guys.
Yeah, we did.
We went a long time. Rob, you always make us smile. And I hope you'll come back and do the show again.
I'll let you know.
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you, Rob. I miss you, man. I haven't seen you in a long time. And we spent a lot of time together outside of Scrubs playing basketball and stuff like that. And in what I would like to think of as the trenches, trying to win championships and stuff. And when you play basketball, it's true though, but when you play basketball with people like we've played basketball, you've seen them in really tough situations. And dude, I miss you, man. I miss you tremendously. And you always, you know, I feel like you always come out on top. So it's really good to see you, Rob.
Thank you so much. I feel the same way. I miss you guys both.
Well, check out Rob on Cameo and hire him to say funny shit to your friends and relatives.
or if you're in the Santa Monica area and you're looking for a flat, to call.
Yeah.
Robert Mascio.
Yeah, Rob. How do they find you, Rob? What's your real estate website?
It's I'm a broker now, but I'm still just an associate broker. I have an office on Main Street with my picture in the window. Sometimes people will walk by and they'll be like, oh, that's the Todd from Scrubs. And I'll be like, is it really? And like, yeah, that's him. And they don't realize it's me. It's so funny.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Don't forget to double check that you're registered or register for the first time by going to headcount.org/Zach and Donald.
Also, we got new colors up with the t-shirts and the sweatshirts.
Yes, great new merch up. We got pink and there's sweatshirts. If you go to, when you're on the thing, which is cotton, go to, you go to cottonbureau.com and then search for fake doctors, you'll see there you can choose sweatshirt, tank top. There's all sorts of stuff. And Joelle is restocking all the towels and the washcloths.
Yes, personally,
right, Joelle?
Folding them, putting the stickers on, getting ready to go.
All Joelle.
All of that training Joelle got at the Gap when she used to work at the Gap, it's all paying off now.
And as you know, we're only on once a week for just a few weeks, but next Tuesday we have the legendary Shea Serrano, everybody's favorite guest, next to Rob Mascio, for My Brother, Where Art Thou? I think that's the one where Tom Cavanaugh's in the bathtub, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. But we shall see. Mm. All right, guys. Donald, would you like to count the universe into our final song?
Our final song?
Of the day.
Of the day.
Yeah. Not of
the final song of this download. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said his